Good morning, Peace Chapel. It's such an honor to be with you today to worship together. So I just wanted to say thank you again, Pastor Spence and Julie, for having us. And he truly is a product of you guys. And I saw your office is very organized. Your office is not organized. But he is very organized. But we just want to say thank you. A little fun fact, maybe he didn't mention this, but he actually married us on his anniversary, which is now our anniversary, so we share a wedding anniversary almost 13 years ago, which is crazy. And so that just means we're old. Yeah, we're getting old.
And they're much older.
So we just want to say thank you. Thank you for having us. What an honor to worship together. Like he said, we serve in Thailand. We serve in Bangkok. And he was telling me before service, there's about 15,000 people here in Morse. There's about 15 million in Bangkok, so just a little bit bigger of a city. But we serve there, and so just wanted to come up and say hello again and just say thank you. Before he speaks, I just want to pray over you guys and just pray a prayer of blessing as we go into the message today. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for your presence that is here with us and in us and all around us. God, I thank you for gathering us together here in this church, in this city at this time. God, it's not coincidence. You are writing all of our stories together. What a blessing. What a privilege to be your children, to be your people. And God, we just pray a blessing over Peace Chapel. God, we pray that as they continue to come and to serve and be faithful in the mission that you have given them here, as well as all over this nation and nations all over the world, God, I pray you would bless them, that you would continue to pour out your Holy Spirit in their kids and in their youth and in their young adults as well. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Well, good morning, and once again, thank you so much for the introduction, Pastor Spence and Julie. You could tell lots of stories. I could tell a few stories, too, but they're not as fun as my stories, I'm sure. So we're just going to not talk about it and then hope nothing else weird comes out of that. But seriously, you guys have been such a blessing to me growing up, and I can count back to all these ministry things and promises fulfilled through God, and really it starts as seeds planted through you guys. So thank you guys so much from the bottom of my heart. And we are where we are today because you said yes to Jesus and to the calling on your life. And we're going to talk a little bit about calling this morning. So we have a few encouraging updates to share with you this morning about what God is doing, not just here in this city, but around the world. But even more than that, we want to talk about something that God has been teaching us personally in the seasons that we're in. So today we're going to talk about calling, and because whether you're called across the street or across the world, every follower has been called. Amen? Amen. Galatians 5:25 says, "If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit." That verse has become one of the themes of our lives, not just as missionaries, but simply as followers of Jesus, walking step by step with him. And one of the first questions that people always ask us as missionaries is usually the same question. Well, how did you end up in Thailand? Why Thailand? Did God give you a crazy vision? Well, I'll go ahead and unpack it for you. In fact, for me, it really starts back to them. They were dedicated pastors in Bethel Park, Pennsylvania. Actually, we were just there last week. It was weird being around. It's cool to see some other people that have been impacted through their ministry that are now serving Jesus too. But I remember for me, it all started because they were taking teams across the world and to Latin America. And I remember being a student in the sanctuary, hearing these teams coming back and sharing testimonies. And I just remember the Holy Spirit like just speaking to my heart and encouraging my heart. And like, wow, I feel like there's a connection here. And then through time, they convinced me to go on missions trips, and I got plugged in. I got to get my feet dirty and see, okay, what God is doing in this part of the world. And I'll never forget, it was in a service. I think I was in about 10th grade, and it wasn't anything to do with missions. It wasn't like a mission service, although arguably every service should be, you know, somewhat tied into missions, right? It's the mission of God. But it wasn't about foreign missions specifically. I honestly am sorry. I don't know what you talked about that day. But I remember just sitting in that service and being so moved by the Holy Spirit that he was calling me to missions. And again, it wasn't anything about that specifically in the message, but the Holy Spirit was doing a work because of these two fostering that environment where the Holy Spirit could speak to people. And so I'll never forget, typically, when I was in high school, I would get in my mom's car and I would drive to Chick-fil-A, and that's where our youth would spend our evenings. But that night was different, and I'm like, wow, like something is stirring inside of me. I can't be around other people. I gotta spend time with God. And I'll never forget driving home, and I was on South Park Road at the time. Now when I drove in to church that day, into youth that evening, my windows were down. It was a nice, I think it was a summer evening, and the secular radio station was blaring, whatever it was at that time. And so whenever I got back in the car that night to drive home, it was my mom's car, so I'm trying to put on like one of her worship CDs or something. And I remember praying and asking God, and I was on South Park Road coming up a hill, and I was like, God, I know that you're calling me, but I'm just starting to feel these doubts. Like, what does that look like? How would that happen? Like, started getting ahead of myself a little bit. And I was saying, God, will you just confirm with me? And I was in the process of saying that, and I turned the CD on, but it was still on the secular station at that time. And on a secular station, there was a song that had just come out. It was, all over the radio. It was by Coldplay, Viva La Vida, if you've ever heard of that song. And it was right at the line where it said, and it was very loud, because remember, I was listening to the loud music coming in. It was like, boom, my missionary's in a foreign field. And I'm like, I started crying. I was driving. It was night. And I couldn't see the road very well because I was like all emotional. And I turned on the windshield wipers. It wasn't even raining. And I'm like, I need to pull over. And I'll never forget pulling over and having this moment with God. I'm like, you know what, God? You've made it very clear to me in this moment. I'm not going to question you anymore. I don't know what it looks like, but I will follow you. I know you're calling me to this. So whatever you have for me. And so that day, that calling for me set a course to begin to pursue missions. And we went to college, and that's where I met Rachel. Even though we're both from Pennsylvania, we didn't meet until we were in Minnesota in college. We had to go all the way to Minnesota to meet. And while we were there, at different seasons of our life, God has called us to missions. And then I was serving in Thailand, and we were engaged, and I was finishing up like an internship there. And I really thought that I would end up in Latin America, just because that was where most of my exposure was, and I had a passion for it. I had served there after high school for a few months, and it was just really, really cool connections there. And then I'll never forget being in Thailand and going up to this rural area with some of our missionary team members. And while we were there, they were sharing. It was a long story short how we got there. It was an accident that we ended up in this rural village, very, very, very far away from, like, I would say, civilization. And we get out of the van, and all these kids run up to us, and these village leaders, they invite us to come in and share, just share whatever you want to. You have white skin, and we don't know what you're doing here, and so just whatever you want to, eat the food and share whatever you want to. And so we did that, and we shared stories about all throughout the Bible, like starting with David and Goliath. Of course, I was Goliath. I still am to every single Thai person. And then we share stories about Jesus, and it was amazing to hear and to see how these children, especially, they were just glued. Usually kids are really squirrely and they're all over the place, but these kids were locked in, and it was so beautiful to see how they responded and heard the gospel. And as we were leaving, after spending a while with them, all these kids were running up to us, and I didn't speak much Thai at the time. But I knew one word they were saying over and over again. I kept hearing it, Brayesu, blah, 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 Brayesu. And Brayesu means Jesus. And I turned to the missionary and said, are they asking about Jesus? What are they saying? And she said, yeah, they're asking when we're going to come back and share more stories from the Bible and Jesus, share Jesus stories. And I turned to the missionary and I'm like, yeah, when are we coming back? This is awesome. And she turned to me kind of sad and trying to entertain the children still. And she said, Brandon, there is so many other churches so many other villages in between this village and where we live. It's 12 hours away, and we don't know of any other missionary organizations. And so we can't really come back here anytime soon. I'm like, well, that's okay. Are there any churches that we can connect them with? She said, Brandon, there's no churches, that we know of within hundreds of miles of here. And I got back in the van, and I was just kind of hopeless. I'm like, well, what do we do then? And she said, well, Brandon, you should pray. The harvest is ready, but the workers are few. Pray that God sends workers to the harvest field. And so we began doing that, Rachel and I. We were actually, Pastor Spence was doing our pre-marriage counseling via Skype at that time, I think. And so we were in three different time zones. I had the best internet, by the way, somehow, even though I was in Thailand. And so it was just so beautiful to be able to pray with her, pray for people by name. And throughout time, as we were praying, we just felt like God turned our prayers for God to send more missionaries to Thailand. We felt like he turned that prayer right back around to us. Would you go? And for us, it was like, oh yeah, we feel called to missions. And we're praying these passionate prayers, like, why not us? And so for us, it was just a beautiful yes that we got to say. And it's a yes that we get to continue to say over and over again. Because how many of you know that this calling is not just a one-time yes? It's a daily yes. It's a daily yes to choose to lay our, to pick up our cross, to lay down our own lives, and to follow Jesus. You know, as I look back, our story, it wasn't really about one big moment. It was thousands of little moments, one step and then another and then another. And honestly, that's how following Jesus usually works. Not one giant leap, but daily obedience, one step at a time. And that's exactly what Paul is talking about, keeping in step with the Spirit. And that's exactly what we see in the life of Abraham. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me to Genesis chapter 12. We're going to pick up there in just a few moments. We're going to walk through several chapters in Genesis, actually, this morning. And I think Abraham teaches us four truths about God's calling, not just for missionaries, but for every believer, because every one of us has been called by God. Amen? Do you believe that this morning? You are called by God. So in Genesis chapter 12, we're going to pick up verses 1 to 4. So let's start with verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. Verse 3, I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And I love something about this story. God tells Abram, go, but he doesn't tell him everything. Oh man, I don't like that. Like in my story just a moment ago, like I like to know the details and I want to know, okay, God, I'll do this, but I need to know, you know, I need to know what's coming up in advance, right? He doesn't give him a five-year plan. That would be, I would love that. He doesn't show him the destination. He simply says, follow me. And what does Abram do? He goes, right? Our first truth this morning, calling means stepping out. Calling means stepping out. Sometimes we think calling is mostly about knowing God's plan, knowing what is next, knowing every single detail to come. But Abraham reminds us, calling usually begins with obedience, not certainty. God rarely shows us the entire staircase before we start moving, right? He simply asks us to take that first step. And maybe for you, that isn't moving overseas, hopefully right now. Maybe it's forgiving someone. That's hard. Maybe it's starting a Bible study, sharing your faith with a coworker, serving in ministry, having a difficult conversation that you've been putting off for some time. Sometimes the biggest step is simply saying yes before you even know where it will lead. You know, one of the people who has modeled this so well for us is Pastor Tony. He's a Thai pastor that we've had the privilege of working with for the past 6 years. He pastors a church in Korat, Thailand. It's about 3 hours north of where we live in the city of Bangkok. And years ago, Pastor Tony, he had a successful career. He actually had several really awesome career paths. He could be anything he wants to, really. He's very well spoken, very well networked and connected. He was living in Bangkok and things were going so well for him, but God began stirring something in his heart. And he left everything behind and he moved back to his hometown. Not because it was easier, but because he believed that Jesus was the answer that his city needed. You know, over the years, this city, his city has struggled with incredible tragedies over the years. You know, in 2020, right before the COVID really locked down, there was a mass shooting, was the largest mass shooting in Thailand's history. It killed over 30 people in the mall that we go to there. And major mental health crises and many broken families as a result. But even before then, there was just really, you know, a spiritual darkness laying, especially over the youth. The city, this city in Thailand, has the highest youth suicide rate in the nation of Thailand. So again, mental health issues, hopelessness. And Pastor Tony looked at all of that, and instead of asking, why doesn't somebody do something? He knew the Church of Jesus is the answer. And he simply says, I'll go. I'll lay everything down, all the career that I built, and I will go. And that's what stepping out looks like, not having every answer, but just saying, yes, yes, Jesus. When we met Pastor Tony, he had a dream. He has lots of dreams. This man is awesome. He wanted to create a youth foundation that could serve students in the city and meet some practical needs and introduce them, these young people, to Jesus as well. And so we did that. We came alongside of him and we helped him launch a youth foundation. And today it's reaching thousands of students every single month. Young people are coming to Jesus. Families are being restored. We're seeing it. Schools are inviting us in. City leaders know who we are, and we have favor with them. Not because we're trying to build a name, but because God is moving through Pastor Tony's ministry. And every time that we see what God is doing, we're reminded, wow, it all started with one person saying yes, just taking a step. And I think sometimes we underestimate what God can do with one act of obedience, one conversation, one invitation, one yes. You have no idea what hangs in the balance of your obedience. Abraham couldn't see the nation that would come from him, but and Pastor Tony, he couldn't see everything that God would do, but we also couldn't do that. Rachel and I, as we make steps and take steps out to go and minister in Thailand. And maybe you can't either, but that's okay, because calling isn't about seeing the whole picture to make an educated decision. Calling is about taking that next step of obedience. But here's what happens after we take that first step. Usually, we start asking questions like, okay, yes, God, what are you doing? What's going on here? How is this ever going to work? And Abraham asked those same questions, and that's where I want to take us to next. This next truth that we see is that calling requires faith before clarity. Faith before clarity. In Genesis 15, years have now passed. Abram was, he obeyed, he left home, he followed God, he built the altars, he trusted God, but there's still one problem. There's no son. There's still no son, no heir, no obvious way for God's promise to come true. So listen to what Abram says in verses 1 to 8. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house, Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. Verse 4, but behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and the number of the stars, if you are able to number them. And then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Verse 6, and he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. And he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you the land to possess. In verse 8, but he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? Can we just appreciate Abram's honesty for a moment? He isn't pretending. He isn't acting like, oh yeah, this all makes sense. Yeah, this is logical. He simply brings his questions to God. And I think that's very encouraging for us in the room reading that today. Because faith doesn't mean that you never have questions. Faith means that you bring your questions to the one who can answer them. And God takes Abram outside. He leads him outside. And I love this picture. Imagine the night sky. There's no city lights, no distractions, just thousands and thousands of stars. And God says to him, count them if you can. So shall your offspring be. Wow, this continues to amaze me and to all of us that read it generations later, because then becomes one of the most important verses in Genesis. Abram believed the Lord, and what did God do? He counted it to him as righteousness. He believed before he understood. That's because calling requires faith before clarity. And I think every believer eventually comes to this moment. God gives you a promise before he gives you the plan. He invites you to trust him before he explains himself. You know, we've been watching this happen in Thailand over and over the last few years. Within a month of launching the Youth Foundation, they already had several young Thai believers who made decisions to follow Jesus. And Pastor Tony, he came to us and he said, wow, I feel like God is leading me to launch a church for them. And we prayed with him and we rallied behind him and we helped him launch a church a few months later. And at the time, it felt like it was a huge step of faith. There wasn't some massive congregation waiting. There wasn't a guaranteed future of what would happen. There was simply a conviction, a Holy Spirit leading, that God was doing something among the next generation, and God was bringing them to him. And so they stepped out. And today, that church has completely outgrown their space that they've met in. And every time we visit, there are more and more young families, more people, more baptisms, more lives being transformed. And then something happened last year that none of us saw coming. Someone donated 17 acres of land to them. Isn't that incredible? This does not happen in Thailand, friends. It doesn't often happen here either anymore, right? Think about that, 17 acres. Not because the church was wealthy, but not because they had everything figured out, but because God was opening doors that they could never have opened for themselves. And now Pastor Tony has this incredible vision, not just building another church, but also a ministry center, a discipleship place for young people, for leadership training, for youth outreach, a place where future pastors can be raised up, a place where young people can encounter Jesus. It's much bigger than a building. It's a vision for this next generation, step by step, daily obedience. And I love that this building is also right on the very front gate of a university of 30,000 students. Isn't that amazing? Only God. I can honestly tell you, when Rachel and I first said yes to missions, we had no idea what that kind of life would look like. We didn't know that we would spend years in Thailand. We didn't know that we would help plant churches. We didn't know that we would be ministering outside of youth prisons. We didn't know that we'd be working alongside city leaders. We couldn't see any of that. But looking back, God could. And it isn't that always, like, he always works in that way, right? In ways that we couldn't see coming, right? He doesn't give us the whole picture. He lets us see a little piece of the puzzle. How many of you guys like to work puzzles? I love working puzzles. I always try to find time, although it's really hard with my son right now. He's 4. And you know, if one puzzle piece goes missing, it's just, is it worth it? But sometimes God gives us that little piece of the puzzle. And then when it's all finished, we step back like, oh, I see what you were doing there, God. Calling requires faith before clarity. But here's the beautiful part. So as Abraham keeps walking with God, something changes. Not just around him, but inside of him. God doesn't simply change Abraham's circumstances. God changes Abraham. And that's where we find the third truth about calling. Calling unfolds your true identity. By this point, 24 years have passed. Think about that, 24 years. God made a promise, and Abraham is still waiting. But then something remarkable happens. Let's look together in Genesis 17, verses 4-5. Behold, My covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. Names really mattered in this time period. Abram meant exalted father, while Abraham means father of a multitude. Whoa. God changes his name before Isaac is even born, before the promise is even fulfilled, before Abraham can see any evidence. Why? Because God isn't just preparing Abraham for a promise. He's preparing Abraham for a new identity to walk into. Calling unfolds your true identity in Christ. As we continue walking with God, we begin discovering who we really are. Not who culture says that we are, not who our past says that we are, not who our failures say that we are, who God says that we are. Can I tell you something? One of the greatest miracles that we've witnessed in Thailand isn't just church growth or new ministries. It's watching people discover their identity in Christ. Because when someone truly understands this, who they are in Jesus, everything changes. Everything changes. One of our favorite ministries today is inside the youth prison. These boys are aged 10 to 20, and there are hundreds of them in this facility that we go to in the city of Korat. They're there for a few months to many years, and they're there for petty crimes to more serious crimes. Once we launched the Youth Foundation, we were able to do outreaches in this facility once a month. It was during COVID, and then it kind of shut down for a while, and then we got back, and we were able to start doing that. We have teams come in from the U.S., a lot from Wisconsin. I would love to have some from Illinois, Pastor Spence, but just saying. But these teams come in, and you open up doors for us to go in and share. And we saw so many young people giving their lives to Jesus, and the staff, they started noticing a difference. In fact, the main director, the main, what do you call it, like the warden, thank you, English words. I don't know that word in Thai either, though. But the warden, who's actually Muslim, he saw a difference in these students too, and he said, yeah, come on in. You guys are doing an amazing work. These students are just experiencing this life change. Do whatever you want to with them. You have full access to them. Wow. And so we were invited back again and again, and now every single week, sometimes multiple times a week, Pastor Tony walks through those gates, not as a visitor, not as a volunteer checking a box, but as a pastor, as a shepherd. Many of these young men have spent their entire lives believing lies. I'm worthless. I'm a criminal. I'll never change. My future is already written. And because of Buddhism, whatever they've done in this life, it's probably because of something in a previous life they've done, and they just need to deal with it. And society says, yep, they've got to pay off their bad deeds and do it in prison, and then maybe in the next life they can have another start. So no one comes in and visits them. No one takes the time to be able to come in and give them a step up and to say that you matter and this life is important. And when they hear the gospel for the very first time and someone tells them, you were created in the image of God. Jesus died for you because your life has worth. Your past doesn't define you. You can become a new creation. Church, this changes everything for these students. And now guess what? We've baptized over 50 boys since September of last year. How amazing is that? And every single week they're coming. Over 70 boys are in his discipleship class. And now the warden lets him pick up since a few months ago, every single Sunday, just a couple of 12 hours ago, he was picking up 2 to 3 boys every single week at the prison, bringing them to the church. They worship. The church surrounds them, loves on them. They get to experience kind of a little glimpse of freedom, but also freedom in Christ. He takes them to the convenience store, buys them a snack, sends them back. And next month, he just started working on it this week, before the church even gets built, and the foundation is building upon that, he is actually building a transitional housing for boys coming out of the youth prison. So exciting. It will be able to house 5 boys to start with. And also he's launching a coffee shop, so that there will be like right on the university gate of 30,000 students. Right at the front of the church is going to be a coffee shop. These boys from the prison are going to be running it. He's going to give them 3 months to get back up on their feet and to be able to earn some money and to be also be able to kind of get some job, you know, resume training and everything. And then also, more importantly, to be connected to the church. And we're so excited. We have a team coming in just a couple of weeks, and they're going to help us with the first board game night. The university students love board games. We're going to have a coffee shop. It's going to be so exciting. But here's what I don't want us to miss this morning. This isn't just about Thailand. It's about every single one of us, because all of us have the labels that the world tries to put on us. Every single one of us. Maybe yours doesn't say prisoner. Maybe it says failure. Maybe it says addict, divorced, not enough, unqualified, ashamed, broken. Maybe it's something that someone spoke over you years ago, and maybe it's not at the front of your brain, but it's just right back here, and it affects the decisions that you make on a daily basis. You believed it ever since. And can I remind you today that Jesus specializes in giving people new names? Peter, Paul, Mary Magdalene, the woman at the well, Zacchaeus, again and again, Jesus met people right where they're at, but he never left them there, because calling isn't just about what God wants you to do. Calling is about who God is shaping you to become as a person in Christ. And as we keep walking step by step with the Spirit, he transforms us from the inside out. But God never changes our identity just for our benefit. He blesses us so that we can be a blessing to other people. Friends, don't let your blessings stop with you. God uses us, and he wants our blessing to flow through us. And that's exactly where Abraham's story leads next. And I think it's where every calling ultimately leads. This is the final truth that we're going to share this morning from this passage of Scripture. And that's that calling is always missional. Say that with me. Calling is always missional. One thing I love about Abraham's story is that God's calling was never just about Abraham. From the very beginning, God said, as we read in chapter 12, I will bless you, and you will be a blessing. Did you catch that? God never intended for the blessing to stop with Abraham. It was always meant to flow through him. And that's still how God works today. He blesses us so that we can become a blessing. He saves us so that others can know him. And he transforms us so that we can point to Jesus. Calling is never just personal. It's always missional. Whether you're a missionary, a teacher, a business owner, a stay-at-home parent, a grandparent, student, retired, God has positioned you somewhere to be a blessing. One of our favorite recent stories, there's always a new favorite story coming up, that's just how God works, is of Son. He is just really an incredible student. He was a high school student that during one of our outreaches, he got connected with our team and has been discipled. But usually that's the kingdom, that's what we see. The kingdom grows, not usually all at once. It's like one person at a time, one disciple at a time, one faithful yes at a time. Sometimes we think, what difference can I really make? But can I just remind you, like we see in San's story today, that that's exactly how the gospel spreads in the book of Acts. Ordinary people filled with the Spirit simply saying yes to Jesus. You know, San, he lives in a very Buddhist background. To be Thai is to be Buddhist. There's really no distinction there. And most people in Thailand, again, they've never heard the gospel before. And so like those people had never heard the name of Jesus before until we came to his school. We got to share the gospel with him. And then he came to one of our English camps that we did for a few days. And then while he was there, his life was just radically impacted for God. And now he is one of the leaders at the church. And this is him leading several students, like sharing the gospel with them at the English camp. Just 1 year later, he is one of the leaders, and he is training up, and Pastor Tony is training him up in the word, and San is going into the youth prison every single week with them, and he felt like he was supposed to go into the military to be a soldier, but man, his life has been changed. And when I spoke with him a couple of months ago, I was like, oh, you still making plans to go to the military? He's like, no. And he wants to be in ministry. he feels that God is calling him to be one of his soldiers. Isn't that amazing? God is moving through lives here. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Notice that word daily. Calling isn't just one decision. It's thousands of decisions. It's waking up tomorrow morning and saying yes to Jesus. Where are you leading me today, Jesus? Some of you, that God might be calling you to go across the world or across the street, across the office, across the classroom. Some of you, God may be calling to give, to pray, to send, to mentor, to serve. I don't know what your next step is specifically, but I know this. If we still have breath in our lungs, God isn't finished with us yet. You are meant to be a blessing, church. And I want to leave you with the same verse that we started with this morning, Galatians 5:25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. I love that picture. Not running ahead, not falling behind, but simply walking with Jesus one step at a time. You know, when Rachel and I first said yes to missions, we never imagined where that one step would lead. We certainly never imagined that we'd have a church and families back at home just like yours, standing behind us, standing beside us year after year, helping to write this story with us. So whenever you give to missions and you pray for what God is doing, not just in your hometown, but around the world, you are a part of a story that God is writing for all of eternity. It's beautiful. When students meet Jesus, you're there. When someone is baptized, you're there. When pastors are trained, you're there. This isn't the Powell's ministry. This is God's ministry. And we all have the opportunity to be a part of what God is doing right here locally in our community, but also around the world. We're partners in the gospel. So I want to ask you one simple question. What's your next step? Not 5 years from now. Don't get ahead of yourself. Not someday. This week, today, tomorrow, what is the Holy Spirit asking you to do? Maybe it's saying yes to Jesus for the very first time. Maybe it's sharing your faith. Maybe it's serving. Maybe it's forgiving someone. Maybe it's praying more intentionally for the nations. Maybe it's joining a team in Thailand or another nation. I don't know what your next step is, but I know this. God is faithful. And he always meets us on the other side of obedience. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much that you are inviting ordinary people into your extraordinary mission. God, we thank you so much for calling Abraham. Let's do that. Let's take a moment. Thank you, God, for calling Abraham. Thank you for calling us. God, teach us to walk in step with your Spirit. Give us courage when we don't have clarity. God, help us to trust you before we see the whole picture. Holy Spirit, continue changing us into the people that you've called us to be. And God, may our lives become a blessing to everyone around us. God, use Peace Chapel. Use every family here, every student, every child. And God, we pray that the gospel will continue advancing here in the name of Jesus, right here, through the church, through the individuals in the church, to this community, all the way to Thailand, and everywhere in between, until every single person has the opportunity to hear the name of Jesus. Unify us in your name, Jesus, we pray. And all God's saints said, amen.